So, King of Genoa, he scolded the proposed grandson. Why, I have told you, and I warn you, how your brothers were feeling towards you. And I told you not to forget me. Be sure, remember me, if anything happened. When he got through scolding, and he just took his hand and he slapped it, and he made a motion that land would all come up even. Sure enough, that land just filled up from the bottom and come right up. And the young fellow stood and he grabbed him, he was just swaying over it. So he took his hands and says, "Hand me your both hands," says King of Genoa to this young man. So he took his hands open. He took it and he put it in his mouth and he blew it from the end of his fingers, and the young fellow just put it right out, natural as he was before, from the King of Genoa. Built him right up at once. Now he says, "You must have something to eat, grandson. And we're going to have something to eat. We'll have everything you want." King of Genoa, he says, "I wish to have everything eatable, but it's warm." When he got through, you can see that there's a kind of a napkin there on laying there, and the tablecloth in the way. And they sat down and they enjoy themselves and talk about their troubles in their trip, in their journey. When he got through, he says to him, "Now here, you brothers, thou have only about 2 or 3 days more, and I'll be landing at home. Now, you must make this trip, and make it in a short time. You should land it over there at least about 2 days ahead of him." The young fellow began to wonder, "How I'm going to make my trip that fast. Take us long time to sail over." So he brought him, "And be sure, before I built your boat, then I want you to have this understanding. You must land it there in the evening, but not to get off. You must remain. There's people that's going to come down when they've seen this boat, and they'll be wondering where that boat never been seen and never been landed in that point, that place. Why, stay there, and your chief mate be ordered not to let anyone come in, let the captain, the owner of the boat, he's in bed. Not till tomorrow morning about 10 o'clock. But that night, when everything is going quiet, get off. You'll get off, and then you'll see the rest of where your boat goes." So the young man obeyed all that order. So they walked into the beach, to the bank of the ocean. The old King of Genoa, he took a dozen cards, common cards, and he threw it in. At the meantime, he had this dozen common cards. He had queen, and he had king, and he had jack. And he threw it with a wish. One of the finest looking boat, the king and the queen will sit on the port side of the boat, and the queen and the king would be sitting on the opposite. And when you go by, you must pass on the side of this young lady, so she'll notice the parties that's sitting on the cart on your cabin, and on this young lady, this queen. And when you go so far, sort of get almost out of sight, come back again, and then go on the other side of the boat for the last. So he threw these cards there for us. All his deckhands were just running round, and he started with that order. He knew that trip. He was gone so long, and then he caught up to them. He did this just as he was told. This young lady, she looked and she began to wonder where that boat came from. And there's a fine looking young lady, the golden hair was sitting in the cabin, and there's men's there, not knowing who they are and where it come from and who the owner of the boat. They went went so far and turned back, and then he went the last round and went on. He landed that night, as he was told by old King Genoa. And his chief mate, people wanted to come, they gathered around the dock and wanted to know where that boat come from and who is he and where it's from. The chief mate said, "Captain is not allowing anyone, he's in bed. He's tired, he made a long journey, and not before 10 o'clock tomorrow." So he stayed there and tied up. People would come all along that night, way late at night. And I'll come down to see him tomorrow morning. So they, along when everything is getting quiet, the young fellow then, he noticed there ain't a soul around anywhere could have seen him. He got off. Just as he got off and stepped off of his boat, those cards were just floating around, nothing but cards. Well, he went, he changed his, he had some old clothes. Then he took his old clothes and he put them on, and he walked up to his father, to his father's mother's place. A poor little dirty looking boy, young man. May I have a young hired girl there up in the kitchen? He goes to her and he says, "I am a very, very poor boy. I couldn't find anything to do. I haven't done anything for a long time. You could just see and picture me how I'm dressed. If anything that you could do for me is to go and tell a landlord or the owner of this place, I would like to stay here and chop little wood or anything at all, any chores that maybe that they wanted me to do. I'd be too glad to do it, and just so as I get something to eat." So she went in. She told the lady and says, "There's a boy out here and he's all in rags. And he said he hasn't got anything to eat for so many days and he couldn't find anything to do anywhere. And he wants to stay and do some of his chores of any kind, splitting wood, packing water, whatever it may be needed. But he's an awful dirty looking boy. So if he's that kind," he says, "you tell him we don't want any boy." Now this young lady, she come out again and she said, "Don't want you. And he appealed again to her and told her, insisted that she must go and talk to the lady once more. Ask her that she could eat outside. She don't have to go in the kitchen. Just hand me something so that I could eat here on the woodshed, and I'll sleep. I'll fix up a place where I can sleep outside here. But don't think that I'm going to step inside of the kitchen. Now all I want is something to eat. And I'll do my best to help. Or anything that you tell me to do, I'll do it." So she went back again. And she told all the offer that this young fellow made and where he'd stay. And so finally this lady talked to her husband and she said, "Well, all right, it's a kind of a cruel for us to try to do an awful hard. The young fellow maybe have a hardship now. We can't expose more hardship on him. If he offered to stay in outside and eat outside, that's all right with me," says the man. So it was accepted, and the young fellow, he started to fool around, work around there, and help, spread the wood, and this and that. And says to this young lady, the cook, "Anything you want me to do, just tell me." So he stayed all had time, as poor and as dirty as he was, as he looks, and then his brothers landed at last. And then the report came that his brothers all landed, and he watched. He saw this lady, and he saw the little dog and the bird, and the report was made that the horse was taken care of by some of the guards into the stable, and they took this young lady and gave her a room upstairs in their house. And it happened to sit on the side where he generally moves around when he's doing something. And the brothers then made the report that they have found and discovered these party, this young lady, and this horse, and this birds. That was the one that used to come over and get away with the berries in the berry patch. That was the journey that they made through their young brother. But what happened with the young brother? Said that he fell overboard. This happened to be a big storm and set the time and the day when it happened, and they could not save him. No way. He lost his life. So that story went on and has been published all over with that tribe of people. And it was accepted as to be the truth. So the young fellow in all of that, he continued as a little servant down there, around the woodshed and places. And his brothers then felt kind of jolly. And the old people was badly put out, but about time that they were getting over it. Now this young fellow would notice this young lady sitting up in there every day, day after day, and looking pretty bad with all her sadness of losing the young man that discovered her at her home through her bird. And one day the young man, by looking over once in a while, see that he thought, "No, this is I'm going to wear the ring. She might be able to recognize me and might get relief. He's looking too bad, and it makes it worse that I'm making her worse without knowing that I'm still alive." He took the ring and slipped it just as he was walking around. So this little young lady, she happened to look at him again once more, and she saw that ring. And the young fellow going about his duty, his work, chores to do, this young lady, he kind of cast his eye up. He seen the young lady was following him, watching him, his movements. And he noticed that there was some change in him. So he went on to the next day. He said, then he called this housekeeper, says, "You come, I wanted to talk to you." So she came, stood in the kitchen door. He says, "Now I want you to go and tell my mother that I am the fourth son of this family that went away and sailed away from here." "You tell her that I am the youngest son of hers." That's all. So she went over. She ran over and told this lady. And this lady, she came out, being she felt with a sadness of losing her boy, and she couldn't believe it herself that he could do it. She just looked at him from the book and she walked back. It can't be true. "You tell him," says to the cook, "you tell that boy that he's trying to tell us something that's no truth in it, some truth. Trying to personate my son that we lost, reported by her brothers. While she was gone," he says, "now you go back and you talk to her, to tell her husband that I am their son." So she went back and told her. Well, this is... In the meantime, when she went away, he went over to where he stopped and dressed up himself, had that ring on. By the time she returned to make a report to him, he was standing there, different man altogether, you know. So he says, "I am the son." And she says, "Can I go in?" So she just ran over and told him he's a different man altogether. So he walked in and says, "Yes." His mother just took him and hugged him. His father came, and they just shed the tears and they cried. This is part of his father and mother, "Don't cry. I'm alive. I'm here at home. But you know, I just disguised myself. Now, for one purpose. Now, I wanted to save my brothers. And I will save them. I might have done the wrong, but I don't feel anything again. It's all a jealousy feeling to them. No other way, as I marked it. Now, Father, when the man of the report, his brothers was called, welcome. It says, here is your, the horse is yours, the lady is yours, the bird is yours, the dog is yours. Now, and he says to his brothers, brothers, I'm glad that I'm here with you, alive again once more. Don't feel sorry for what happened. You might have made an awful mistake, but these mistakes often happen. And give me a chance. I want to talk to my father between the two of us. So he told his brothers to walk away. So he asked his father, what are you going to do? My brothers left me there, dug a big hole. I'm going to tell you the whole thing. And they, instead of burying me, they left me there to starve and die. But fortunate, I happened to found a man with the most power and what saved my life and brought me here. And it's a man, it's unknown. No one will ever see him, with an exception me, if I ever have a chance. So his father said, if that's the case, tomorrow, he says, every one of your brothers will be executed. I must have them punished for the life they've done you, and have brought me the news and say that you have fell overboard. When his father get through, put his hands on his father's shoulder and guide him. Father, for those words never will come. I am protecting my brothers. They've done me some wrong, mistake, but I say forgive them. Thou be punished, and thou going to die in the natural death. Sooner or later, not a daily, but it'll be punished. There's some way that they're going to punish you.